Story 1. The Adventure of the Dancing Men. Chapter 1. Hilton Cubitt's First Visit. Holmes sat boiling a particularly bad-smelling product in a small glass container.
"So, Watson," he said suddenly, "I have an interesting problem for you to consider. See what you can make of that, friend Watson."
He tossed a sheet of paper on the table and turned once more to his chemical analysis. I looked with amazement at the strange pictures on the paper.
"Why, Holmes, it is a child's drawing," I cried.
"What else should it be?"
"That is what Mr. Hilton Cubitt of Ridingthorpe Manor, Norfolk, is very anxious to know. This little puzzle came in the mail, and he was to follow by the next train. There's a ring at the bell, Watson. I should not be surprised if he has arrived."
A heavy step was heard on the stairs, and an instant later there entered a tall, strong gentleman. His clear eyes and red cheeks told of a life led far from the fogs of Baker Street. He shook hands with each of us before noting the paper with the curious markings, which I had just examined and left on the table.
"Well, Mr. Holmes, what do you make of these?" he cried. "They told me that you were fond of odd mysteries. I don't think you can find a stranger one than that. I sent the paper on ahead so that you might have time to study it before I came."
"It is certainly curious," said Holmes. "At first sight, it would appear to be some childish joke. It consists of a number of odd little figures dancing across the paper on which they are drawn. Why should you give any importance to such a strange object?"
"I don't, Mr. Holmes, but my wife does. It is frightening her to death. She says nothing, but I can see fear in her eyes. That's why I want to get to the bottom of this matter."
Holmes held up the paper so that the sunlight shone full on it. It was a page torn from a notebook. The markings were done in pencil and ran in this way.
"This promises to be a most interesting and unusual case," he said. "You gave me a few particulars in your letter, Mr. Hilton Cubitt. Would you kindly go over it all again for the benefit of my friend, Dr. Watson?"
"I'm not much of a storyteller," said our visitor, "so just ask me anything that I don't make clear. I'll begin at the time of my marriage last year, but I want to say first of all that I'm not a rich man. My people have been at Ridingthorpe for a matter of 5 centuries. There is no better known family in the county of Norfolk. Last year, I came up to London for a visit. There I met by chance a young American lady, Elsie Patrick. Somehow we became friends, and I soon fell in love. We were quietly married, and then we returned to Norfolk. You think it very mad, Mr. Holmes, I'm sure. She was very straight about things. I can't say that Elsie did not give me every chance of getting out of the marriage if I wished to do so. I have had some bad associations in my life, she said. I wish to forget all about them. The past is very painful to me. If you take me, Hilton, you will have to trust my word that I have nothing to be ashamed of. But you must allow me to be silent as to all that has passed up to now. It was only the day before our wedding that she said those very words to me. I told her that I was content to take her on her own terms, and I have been as good as my word. Well, we have been married now for a year, and very happy we have been. But about a month ago, at the end of June, I saw the first signs of trouble. One day, my wife received a letter from America. I saw the American stamp. She turned deadly white, read the letter, and threw it into the fire. She made no mention of it afterward, and I made none, for a promise is a promise. However, since then, there has always been a look of fear on her face, a look as if she were waiting and expecting. Mind you, she is a truthful woman, Mr. Holmes. Whatever trouble there may have been in her past life, it has been no fault of hers. She would never bring any stain on my family's honor. Of that, I am sure. Well, Tuesday of last week, I found under one of the windows a number of odd little dancing figures like these on the paper.
They were drawn with chalk. I thought that it was the stable boy who had drawn them, but the boy swore he knew nothing about it. Someone had made them during the night. I had them washed away, and I only mentioned the matter to my wife afterward. To my surprise, she took it very seriously. She begged me to show her any more that came. None did come for a week, and then yesterday morning I found this paper lying on the bench in the garden. I showed it to Elsie, and down she dropped in a dead faint. Since then, she has looked like a woman in a dream, with fear always in her eyes. It was then that I wrote and sent the paper to you, Mr. Holmes. It was not a thing that I could take to the police. They would have laughed at me, but you will tell me what to do. I am not a rich man, but if there is any danger threatening my wife, I would spend all I have to shield her.
Don't you think, Mr. Cubitt, said Holmes, that your best plan would be to make a direct appeal to your wife? Why not ask her to share her secret with you?
Hilton Cubitt shook his massive head.
A promise is a promise, Mr. Holmes. If Elsie wished to tell me, she would. If not, it is not for me to force her. But I am free to take my own line, and I will.
Then I will help you with all my heart. In the first place, have you heard of any strangers being seen in your neighborhood?
No.
I believe that it must be a very quiet place. Any fresh face would cause comment?
In the immediate neighborhood, yes. But sometimes the farmers in the area take in guests who pay to stay with them.
These pictures have evidently a meaning. If, as I suspect, they are systematic, I have no doubt that we shall get to the bottom of it. But this particular sample is so short that I can do nothing. I would suggest that you return to Norfolk and keep a close watch. Make an exact copy of any fresh dancing men which may appear. It is a pity that we don't have a copy of those which were done in chalk under the window. When you have collected some fresh evidence, come to me again. That is the best advice which I can give you, Mr. Cubitt.